This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. Our guest today is Father Burke Masters, who was born and raised in Joliet, Illinois. He became Catholic during his senior year of high school and played college baseball at Mississippi State University, where he competed in the College World Series. Father Burke was ordained in 2002 and is currently a pastor at a large parish in the Chicago area, in the Joliet Diocese, just in the suburbs there. He travels widely, speaking to tens of thousands of people, sharing his story, and inspiring others to hear God's call in their own lives. Welcome to the show, Father Burke.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be with you.
So you didn't start out Catholic. You didn't start out, you know, kind of deep in the faith. What was your beginning like, and how did you come to a realization that this was your calling?
Yeah, so my mom was raised Baptist, my dad, the United Church of Christ. So I was raised in a Christian home. I knew the basic story of Christ, but we were pretty much unchurched. My parents were good moral people, but we didn't go to church growing up. So they sent me to a Catholic high school to play baseball. Mm-hmm. The public schools in our area didn't have the best baseball programs, and there was some consolidation going on. So they said, you have two options. You can go to Joliet Catholic or Providence Catholic. And so it's surprising.
They both had Catholic in the name.
They did. And so I went to Providence because most of my friends were going there. And, you know, for the first time in my life, I encountered priests and nuns and the Mass and the whole Catholic Church. And it intrigued me. And some of the things that really intrigued me were the universality of the Church, knowing that you could go to Mass anywhere in the world and it's the same Mass, just in a different language, the sense of apostolic succession from Peter on down to today. And the Eucharist is what really grabbed me. I didn't believe at first. I thought, how can that be the body of Christ? And I received my first communion actually by accident. I talk about that in the book. But it was no accident because it changed my life. The sense of, I knew, not just intellectually, but I knew in my heart, this was more than a piece of bread, that it was the body of Christ. And that's what put me over the edge to say, I need to join the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. Now, you wrote a book about your experiences called A Grand Slam for God, published by Word on Fire Press. In that book, you talk about you were a really good ball player. you were in the College World Series. You were heading for at least the minors, maybe the majors. What was that like, that drive to just be the best at what you could do?
Yeah, I grew up in a sports-minded family. My dad played college basketball at Mississippi State, and I didn't get the basketball gene, but I got the baseball gene. He was a very good baseball player, too. Yeah, I really thought I had a real chance to make it to the major leagues, especially as I started to get awards in high school and college offers from all over the nation, and then choosing to go to Mississippi State, which is a very well-known college program. You know, I was just raised with this sense of discipline, hard work, give it all you've got, and then see where God takes you. And so I gave it all I had, got to play a little bit of minor league baseball after college. But now I look back on it. I mean, I was devastated, honestly, when my playing career was done. But now I know that God had this in store for me, to be a Catholic priest. And I wouldn't trade it for all the money in the world. But there was so much that I learned from playing very competitive baseball that translates into my faith life now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing to have talent, which you clearly did. You know, a lot of people have talent, but you have to work at it. You have to work at it to be the best. How does that same drive play into what you did when you were studying for the priesthood, when you were discerning a vocation? How does that same drive get you where you need to be?
Yeah. So for example, in college, we practiced 5 hours a day. And so our life was very much regimented. I went 8 to 12 in the morning, classes, lunch, 1 to 6, practice, dinner, homework, and then repeat the cycle. And then I brought that into the seminary, that sense of discipline. I always wanted to be in the Hall of Fame as a baseball player. Now I want to be in God's Hall of Fame. And to be the best you can be, you really need to invest time. Now, I want to preface that by saying, you know, I know that we don't earn our salvation. You know, we can't just do all the good things to get to heaven. It's God's grace, our faith. But he says, you know, faith without works is dead. And so I pour myself into whatever I do. And, you know, I remember asking my spiritual director once, I said, is it okay to have ambition in the spiritual life? And he said, some of the greatest saints had ambition, but it was all directed toward God. Mm-hmm. He said, as soon as you start to direct any ambition toward yourself, you're in a bad spiritual place. And so that drive that I had in baseball, now it drives me to become the best, as Matthew Kelly says, the best version of myself, to give glory and honor to God.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about the faith without works. The singer Rich Mullins used to sing about the fact that faith without works is like a screen door on a submarine. It's just not going to do you any good. And exactly. Seminary high school I went to had its motto was Ora et Labora, work and pray. And I heard a story at one time about a guy came up to a lake, and there's a guy in a boat, and he's got two oars, and one says work and one says pray. And the guy on the shore is like, well, what's that all about? And he says, well, watch what happens if I just pray. And he does one oar and he goes around in circles. He goes, watch what happens if I just work. And he does the other oar and he just goes around in circles. He goes, but now watch what happens if I work and pray and do both. He goes, now I can move across the water. That idea of having to do all of that, I think you're on target with that we've got to combine that as part of our efforts to get to heaven. You talked a little bit about your possible career in the big leagues. We're just right around the All-Star break as we're going to broadcast this. Right now, your Chicago teams aren't doing too well. So, and that's a sad thing. I'm a lifelong Cubs fan. My dad was a Cubs fan. Mom was a Sox fan. And unfortunately, both those teams are in last place right now as we speak in early July. But what was it like for you to kind of look at that as a dream and then have that dream deferred, but find something better?
Yeah. You know, I say going to Mississippi State and having been recruited all over the country, I really started to think this is real, you know. And in the regional tournament to get to the College World Series, in one game against Florida State, I was 6 for 6, hit a grand slam to win the game. I was 13 for 15 at one point in this tournament, which I had never done in Little League.
That's phenomenal.
Was named most valuable player of the tournament. And then, you know, I thought this is going to launch me into the next stage of, you know, being a big leaguer. And it didn't work out. And there were guys that I played with, guys that I played against that I matched up well against and with that made it to the big leagues. And so it was a tough pill to swallow, honestly, because I had spent 23 years old at the time. I probably had spent a good 16 years working at this game, you know, and to say that it was done, I was kind of angry with God because it wasn't my plan. And one of the titles I wanted to give the book was, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Yeah.
And we've all seen that bumper sticker probably. But now as I look back and I see what God has done, you know, that I've been a priest now 22 years. In 2013, I became the chaplain for the Chicago Cubs, where I can combine my passion for God and my passion for baseball. And I just see how God doesn't take away what we love, but he enhances it and purifies it. And so I had to let one dream die in order for another one to come alive. And this is something I can, you know, as a player, you have a very short time span that you can play. But I can be, and well, I will be a priest into eternity, God willing.
Yeah. Your decision to become a priest. That whole vocation struggle, as I read about it in the book, A Grand Slam for God, it struck me as, you know, you were dealing with a lot of different things, but we all kind of go through those same questions as we face our own vocation, whether that's to married life or single life, or what kind of work we do as an avocation in addition to just as a career. How did that struggle for you play out over time?
Yeah, definitely it was and is a call from God, because it wasn't on my radar screen. Now, looking back, I can see God at work. And many of my friends would say, yeah, we saw that in you long before you did. I was involved in my church as a man in mid-20s. I made a Crucio weekend, which was a game changer for me. And, you know, so I started to go to adoration with my girlfriend at the time. And when I'd go to adoration, the thought of priesthood kept surfacing. And I thought, where's this coming from? I don't want to be a priest. You know, I want to get married, raise a family. And I had some good priests that were guiding me at the time. And one said, he said, I want you to take a month, take 2 weeks, and imagine yourself being a priest, doing all the things priests do. Pay attention to your heart and journal. Take 2 weeks, then imagine yourself being married and working and raising a family. Pay attention to your heart and journal. And that exercise was so powerful for me, because what I thought I was being called to, I felt this like excitement and joy when I imagined myself celebrating Mass, hearing confessions, doing the things that only priests can do. And I thought, oh boy, this may be where God is calling me, that I don't want to go. And it was still an internal struggle. I thought being a priest, I'd be lonely, bored, and poor. That's how I imagined it. And it's been nothing like that. It's been an adventure. I've met some of the most amazing people. I have deep, intimate relationships. You know, Mike Sweeney, my Kansas City Royals buddy, he says, intimacy is into me, see. When you open your heart to someone, as a priest, I do that all day long. People come to me and they say, Father, my heart hurts and I don't know what to do about it. And it's just been an amazing journey these last 22 years.
That's awesome. Well, we want to talk some more about that and about some of your the individual circumstances of your priesthood when we come back after the break. We are talking with Father Burke Masters, who is the author of A Grand Slam for God, A Journey from Baseball Star to Catholic Priest, from Word on Fire Press. This is Chris Gunty, and you're listening to Catholic Review Radio.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore makes the protection of children a leading priority in its parishes, schools, and other ministries. The Archdiocese seeks to keep kids safe through training and background checks and by implementing a zero-tolerance policy for anyone credibly accused of abusing a child. For more information about the Archdiocese's efforts to keep our children safe, please visit www.archbalt.org/accountability.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Catholic Review Media received 53 awards from various press associations for work published in 2023, including top honors from the Maryland-Delaware DC Press Association as News Organization of the Year for the sixth year in a row. The MDDC awarded the Catholic Review 26 awards, including one Best of Show honor each for Kevin J. Parks' photography and Gabriella O'Brien's design. CatholicReview.org garnered first place for website general excellence, and staff received 15 other first place writing, design, and photography honors. The MDDC awards were presented May 3rd in Annapolis. The Catholic Media Association recognized Catholic Review Media with 21 awards. George Matisak Jr., managing editor of the Catholic Review and host of Catholic Review Radio, received first place for Editor of the Year and first place for Podcaster of the Year. Gabriella O'Brien received first place for Designer of the Year. Christopher Gunty received second place for Podcaster of the Year. The CMA Awards were announced June 21st in Atlanta. The Associated Church Press, comprised of a number of Christian and Catholic publishers, honored Catholic Review Media with 6 awards, which were presented May 17th in Chicago. The Catholic Review's coverage of clergy abuse of minors factored into recognition from all three contests. The year included the release of the Maryland Attorney General's report on an investigation of 80 years of clergy abuse within the Archdiocese of Baltimore and the filing for bankruptcy by the Archdiocese in order to continue its ministries while providing equitable compensation to as many victim survivors as possible. The NDDC gave Mattisak's interview with two clergy abuse victim survivors first place in religion reporting. The same story received third place for a best feature article in diocesan magazines from the CMA. For a list of all awards, visit CatholicReview.org. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks. Have a great summer.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit Archbell.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. Our guest today is Father Burke Masters, a priest of the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and he is the author of A Grand Slam for God, published by Word on Fire Press. Father Burke, you had some struggles even in some assignments. You write in the book about being assigned to a parish that was primarily made up of Spanish-speaking people, and that you weren't quite comfortable in that yet, and yet you grew into it. What was that experience like? Because a lot of folks in our area, I mean, I think probably every diocese in the country wants its priests to be bilingual these days, make sure that they go and get training in that. But getting the training and actually getting into a parish and doing the work, celebrating Mass, hearing confessions, those kinds of things, there's got to be a lot different. What was that like for you?
Yeah, it was a challenge. It was a surprise when Bishop called me and he said that was going to be my assignment. St. Mary's in West Chicago, about 85% Spanish speaking. Now, I was good at academics and I did well in Spanish class. And if you heard me read that, I was completely fluent. And I think that's probably what somebody told the bishop. But I wasn't ready to hear confessions in Spanish or to counsel people in Spanish, and it was tough. And so learning how to be a priest in an environment where I felt I was only using 15% of my capabilities, it was a challenge. And after the first year, I was almost ready to say, Bishop, I really need to move because I can't do this. And one of the parishioners saw that I was struggling, and Jesus Fernandez, who's become a great friend of mine, he said, Father, bring your homily over each week. I'll help you with it. You know, we'll work through this. And because I was just reading, I'd have my English homily and I'd translate it and I would read the Spanish. And if you've been to Mass before where the priest reads his homily, some have a gift to do it, but I was putting people to sleep.
That can be dangerous. Yeah, that can be hazardous.
It can be. So I started, you know, getting his help. And after a while, he said, you don't need the notes anymore. And I said, yes, I do. But he took them away from me. And he said he had done this before, I think, with other priests. He knew what he was doing. So he said, just speak from your heart. You know this. And so I would. And whenever I'd get stuck, I would just say, ¿Cómo se dice? Whatever in English. Mm-hmm. And half the people would shout out what I needed to say because a lot of them were bilingual, but they started paying attention more because I wasn't reading and they knew they were helping me along the way. And it was a brilliant move that Jesus did. And so after 4 years there, I was fluent in Spanish. I was comfortable preaching without notes, doing, you know, counsel in the confessional, whatever was needed. And it was such a gift. And again, looking back, I see God's providence where many of my friends now are Spanish speaking that I never would have met them had I, you know, not been sent there or had I given up. And so if you're listening to this and you find yourself in a situation that's daunting or overwhelming, God will provide, and just keep trusting that he has a plan in the midst of the storm. And then I became vocation director. And, you know, we had some of our young seminarians who were Spanish speaking or bilingual, and it just gave me, it just opened doors that would not have been open to me prior to that.
You mentioned being the vocations director, and I want to address that because in the book you talked about the fact that, you know, you were going around and giving talks, and you'd have people ask you questions, and the question would come up about, aren't you going to be lonely? And you mentioned, alluded to that before the break, where you talked about you figured as a priest you'd be lonely and broke and you know, and all of this.
Sure.
How did you address that question from somebody about, aren't priests lonely?
Yeah, so the first event that I had as vocation director, it was for young men. Bishop Sarton was our bishop at the time. He's now retired. And a young man asked me, Father Burke, do you ever get lonely as a priest? And at that time, I thought only priests and religious got lonely because we weren't married. I thought marriage would solve all loneliness. And so I thought, if I say yes, I get lonely, then how can I, you know, quote, sell the priesthood to these young men? And if I say no, I never get lonely, that would be a lie, and I can't lie. And so I thought, I just kind of stood there stunned by the question. And Bishop Sarton stepped in. He saw that I was struggling. And he said, absolutely, we get lonely. He said, you know, but ask your parents if they ever get lonely. He said, married people, single people, priests, religious. He said, God created us with a longing in our heart that only he can fill. And then he said this line that really has stayed with me. He said, loneliness is God's invitation to intimacy with him. I'll say that again. Loneliness is God's invitation to intimacy with him. And so it really made me think, okay, when I get lonely, and we all do, who or what do I turn to? Do I turn to prayer? Do I turn to God, who is the one that's going to meet us in our loneliness? Or do I turn to things, you know, like I would turn to a baseball game on TV or something just to dull the pain, but it wouldn't solve the issue. And so then I learned when I experienced that loneliness, go to pray, I'd go to the adoration chapel or get out the Bible. And then I, after doing that, then I would, you know, go watch a ball game or go with friends. And it was a life-changing moment for me.
Mm-hmm. Those two things end up being complementary too. You go to God, but then you also go to others for support and companionship and praying together, as well as, you know, celebrations and that. I heard a priest talk a long time ago about there's a difference between being lonely and being alone. You can be alone without being lonely. It's that loneliness is that emptiness that you were just talking about, that longing for a relationship with another, and especially for that relationship with God. Mm-hmm. As you have progressed in your time being a priest, also continuing to stay connected to baseball, are you glad you made the decision you did? Are you glad you went in the direction you did? And what advice would you have for other people who are kind of facing an either or situation?
Yeah, as I said, I wouldn't trade it for anything. If God is calling you, whatever God calls you to in your vocation, that's where you're going to find, I think, the greatest peace and fulfillment. I remember as vocation director, I had a mother come to see me, and her daughter was discerning religious life. And she said, over my dead body, will my daughter become a religious sister?
Wow.
I said, really? I said, let's talk about that, because they say the number one obstacle to religious vocations today are parents. And, you know, they used to be when they had 10 kids, they'd say, you can take the first two or three, you know.
Right.
But now when we have one girl and one boy on average, you know, if your son wants to become a priest or your daughter wants to become a nun, that's a huge sacrifice.
It is.
And so this woman described all of the plans that she had for her daughter. And I said, I hear your plans for your daughter, but what if this is truly what she's being called to do? And I said, what do you want for your daughter? And she said, I want my daughter to be happy, which every parent says the same thing. How do they find happiness? We finally got around to agreeing that we find happiness by doing God's will. Just to end this story quickly, a few years later, I was up at Mundelein Seminary, and this young religious sister came running over to me, and she said, Father Burke, do you know who I am? And I said, I'm sorry, I don't. She said, my mother was in your office, and it was this mother, and I said, is she still alive? But she said, my mother is so supportive now because she sees how happy that I am following God's will. So that would be my biggest encouragement for parents out there, is encourage your children to follow the will of God, whatever that is, because that's where they're going to find peace and fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. And are you finding peace and fulfillment continuing in what you're doing?
I love it. I remember I worked in the corporate world for a while, and there were times, honestly, when I dreaded getting out of bed in the morning. And I can tell you now, I know there's certain days that there's going to be tough things that I'm going to experience, but I look forward to every day, the challenges, the blessings, meeting new people. There's no 2 days that are the same. Knowing that what I get to do has an eternal impact on people's lives on a minute by minute, on a daily basis, that's what gives meaning and purpose to life.
And that's a grand slam for God, for sure.
Amen.
Well, we have been talking today with Father Burke Masters, a priest of the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, about his book, A Grand Slam for God, A Journey from Baseball Star to Catholic Priest. And we've been talking about his own personal vocation and how he helps others realize that. Thank you so much for being our guest today, Father Burke.
My pleasure. God bless you and your listeners.
And remember, you can get the book at Word on Fire, which is wordonfire.org/publishing. This is Chris Gunty, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week, available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.